are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is a Tuesday episode. We're going to continue on with our prospect deep dives in the scouting report for Dante Pettis. Get to know him a little bit better, the 49ers' second round pick. They traded up 15 spots from 59 to 44 to draft this young man. So what did the 49ers get? Well, we're going to talk to Brad Kelly, who is a wide receiver expert, writes about the NFL draft, and even has a wide receiver-only draft guide that we'll tell you about a little bit later. So we'll talk to Brad about both the 49ers' newest wide receivers, but especially focus on their second-round pick, Dante Pettis. And some other news that I guess we're not super surprised that came down on Monday. 49ers cut one of their veteran offensive linemen loose. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We are on iTunes. We are on Spotify. I believe we're on TuneIn. Somebody tweeted out today that they couldn't get the podcast in their Tesla via the TuneIn built-in app in their Tesla Model 3. So that's a little concerning. I want to make sure everybody out there in all makes and models of vehicles are able to get Locked On 49ers into their vehicle or onto their device or however they like to listen to the show. You can go to LockedOn49ers.com. You can find write-ups on all the latest prospects as well as all the latest episodes and find where to subscribe to the podcast. Hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can get those mailbag questions in there. We're going to do another little mailbag with Nick on our Winky Wednesday episode tomorrow. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com, and you can find us at our Facebook page and on Instagram as well. So where to begin? Let's start with Zane Beatles, who was released on Monday by the 49ers. Not much of a surprise. He's actually one of the players I said was almost guaranteed to be cut at some point on yesterday's episode. So I was a day early on that one. And 49ers GM John Lynch gave Zane Beatles the statement treatment. He said, quote, "Zane is a consummate professional and has represented our organization with exceptional class. He's an unselfish guy who stepped up in a big way for our team last year, and we can't thank him enough for all his contributions to the organization and our community. Zane is just the kind of player and person we would always be open to welcoming back down the road, but releasing him now provides ample opportunity to find the right situation with his next team. We wish him and his family all the best as he moves forward in his career." End quote. So John Lynch, you know, that's a nice thing to do for a veteran player that you're releasing. Release him early. They know that, you know, he didn't fit in to the 49ers 53-man roster as you project it going forward. You know, it's pretty packed at the guard position with a lot of players that are going to compete there, even though, you know, and a bunch of former first-rounders, even though all of those guys have disappointed in some way in their career. So Zane Beatles, he's no longer a 49er. John Lynch did crack that door open, leave it open just a little bit for a possible return. If there are some injuries in camp, I could see Zane Beatles being a guy they bring back because he's an unselfish player, and you can tell how much they respect him as a person there by that statement. And he was willing to play any position on the line, sometimes way out of position, and he was thrown into some bad spots. So Zane Beatles, no longer 49ers. He no longer with the 49ers. He has been released, which leaves at the guard position, you got Eric Magnuson, who I think is going to be the guy who ends up backing up at center for the most part for the 49ers and working in a little bit at guard and hopefully doesn't get forced into action at right tackle again this season. Along with, of course, the starting center will be Weston Richburg. You got left tackle Joe Staley, right tackle Mike McGlinchey, and then three former first-round guards that are going to battle it out for the two guard positions, Laken Tomlinson, Jonathan Cooper, and Joshua Garnett, who's back with a new, slimmer frame. He's lost 25 pounds, so we'll see if that helps his chances to live up to that first-round draft status. So moving on, let's talk a little bit about the 49ers' second-round draft pick, wide receiver Dante Pettis out of the University of Washington. Some solid accolades for the young man. 2017 consensus first-team All-American as a return man. He was also All-Pac-12 first team at both wide receiver and as a return specialist. 2017 midseason All-American first team by the Associated Press, CBS Sports, The Athletic, The Sporting News. He was a Paul Hornung Award finalist for 2017. He's the NCAA record holder with 9 career punt returns for a touchdown. Also tied the NCAA record for punt returns for a touchdown in three consecutive games, and also has the Pac-12 record for career punt return yards. Dante's father, Gary Pettis, he's a guy I collected baseball cards of in the late 80s and early 90s, played 11 seasons in Major League Baseball for the Angels, Tigers, Rangers, Padres, and then Tigers again, winning five gold gloves as a center fielder. He was a leadoff man. I always loved the leadoff hitters, the fast speed guys when I was a kid. So Gary Pettis was a guy I really liked. I definitely have a bunch of his probably 87 Topps cards at home, the one with the wooden fake border around it. I love the 87 Topps cards. That was kind of the pinnacle of baseball card collecting. I think it was probably the most printed baseball card ever was the 1987 Topps. Gary is the third base coach currently of the Houston Astros. Dante Pettis' cousin, Austin Pettis, wide receiver in the NFL for the St. Louis Rams. He finished his college career at Boise State as the all-time leader in receptions and receiving touchdowns. So some bloodlines there. That's been the case with the first two 49ers picks. Mike McGlinchey, the cousin of Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan, and some NFL and Major League Baseball bloodlines for Dante Pettis. He was the 49th ranked wide receiver in the country and number 74 overall recruit in California by Rivals.com coming out of high school. He's also a big-time track athlete, played some basketball, but ran track at Sarah High. He came from San Clemente, California. As a senior on the track team, competed in the state championships in the 200 meters and the long jump. One of the things I like about Dante Pettis, besides his athleticism, we'll talk about more of that athleticism with Brad Kelly coming up in just a minute, but he played every game, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior year, 13 games all four seasons. So he never missed a full game for injury, and he got on the field right away. He had 15 touchdowns in 2016, working on the opposite side from former first-round pick John Ross. He had 53 catches that year as a junior, 822 yards. That was his best statistical season, and 15 touchdowns. So you want a red zone weapon? Yeah, he can do that too. He can really separate from guys near the end zone, which is and go up and get the ball, which is key. And then his senior season had more receptions, 63, but fewer yards and touchdowns, 761 yards receiving in 2017 as a senior, and seven touchdowns. And of course, his NCAA record, 9 return touchdowns over his college career. So a very good college career. Not eye-popping numbers as a receiver, but those 15 touchdowns do look good from the 2016 season. So maybe the 49ers, without, you know, drafting some gargantuan 6'5 receiver, were able to find someone who can help them out in the red zone in a number of ways, for field position, put some points on the board, and also a guy that can really help out in between the 20s. And somebody, when you really look at the style of player he is, yeah, he's definitely one of those Shanahan types. And Shanahan definitely has a type. Both of the 49ers receivers that were drafted in 2017 fit that type. So let's talk a little bit more about the traits of Dante Pettis with today's guest. All right, my guest today is Brad Kelly. He is, his specialty is wide receivers. He actually did a wide receiver draft guide that we're going to talk about, and we'll find out how you can get your hands on that, because he was very fond of a certain, and maybe a pair of 49ers draftees at the wide receiver position. He writes about the NFL draft, also coaches football. That is Brad Kelly. You can find him on Twitter at BradKelly17. Brad, thank you so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So, I think a lot of 49ers fans were a little bit surprised by the Dante Pettis selection, not only because of how high he went in comparison to where he was on most, you know, big media draft boards, and you know, these things start to get very groupthink when it comes to NFL draft. Once you get to draft day, everyone's really got an idea that's set, and it's odd that so many people agree by the end of things how rankings should go. So I'm glad to talk to people who have very different rankings, and I think Kyle Shanahan, and obviously every, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, all 32 teams have their own unique draft boards, so you shouldn't be surprised when the actual draft is much different than that groupthink ends up being by the time the draft rolls around. So when it comes to Dante Pettis, if I'm not mistaken, in your wide receiver draft guide, he was wide receiver one in the 2018 draft for you. Is that correct? And if so, just a quick overview of the reasons why he was your top wide receiver.
That is correct. He was my top receiver as a guy who's is going to be a Z receiver who also can moonlight in the slot. So I really like the versatility that he brings to an offense, and I think he's going to be a perfect fit You know, in the Kyle Shanahan offense. I'm a Patriots fan, so I'm a huge Jimmy G fan. You know, I loved the run they went on at the end of last season, and I think it's like a match made in heaven almost with Pettis' ability to separate and you know, win at all levels of the field, matching up. That's going to be a great combination.
Yeah, and I agree with that. When you really see Dante Pettis and start to look at his skills, and then you look at what Kyle Shanahan likes to do, and then when you factor in Jimmy G's ability to hit that short and intermediate pass, and they really worked a lot in the middle of the field last year when the 49ers went on that run and won five straight games at the end of the year. The ability for a wide receiver to separate is, I think, the number one thing that Kyle Shanahan looks for, and all the receivers he's brought in are either insanely quick or insanely fast or some combination of both, and I think Dante Pettis has a little bit of that. And I think maybe throughout this process, and maybe because he wasn't at the combine and had some injuries and didn't work out until his own personal pro day at the very end of the process, I think his athleticism didn't really get a lot of publicity with the draft community. Do you think that's accurate?
I think that's definitely accurate. And to touch on how explosive he really is, I went back and looked at his high school track and field numbers. He was a 24'7" long jumper when he was in high school. For those of you who don't know, you know, much about track numbers, to put it in perspective, he was the eighth best long jumper in the country in that year. That same year, Adoree Jackson was fourth best in the country. So we're talking about a guy who's on the same level of explosiveness as a guy like Adoree Jackson, who we know can fly. We've seen him, you know, in his rookie year at the Titans and his ability to run. We're talking about a guy in Dante Pettis who's probably equally as explosive, and a guy who's extremely flexible. You could tell he had a long jump background, how flexible he is and how he's able to move. And that's how he generates that separation.
So as far as separation goes, do you have any worries about, you know, the way he runs routes or being able to get off the line versus a stronger, bigger cornerbacks that might be jamming him? Because, I mean, he loses guys at the line of scrimmage, and I love the way he gets off the line of scrimmage, but a lot of times guys can't even get their hands on him. Do you think he might have to work on the strength aspect of it if guys are actually able to get a hand on him and reroute him at the line of scrimmage, because he kind of had a free rein in Washington and was able to ditch guys pretty easily. And then as he ran routes down the field, I love the way he would, you know, get on top of DBs and give his quarterback a place to throw the football so he could go get it. And then finishing plays with some really good hands and ability to go up and get the football as well.
Right. So I think that's the main concern with Pettis is his quote unquote lack of strength and his slightly built frame. You know, he only weighed in at 186 pounds, but to me, I'm not overly concerned about that because, like you said, his ability to move laterally at the line of scrimmage is really how he beats press coverage. And yes, if he gets jammed by a more physical corner in the NFL, that's going to be a problem. It's going to reroute him. But that's the case with every receiver, really. There's not a lot of guys who really fight through contact anymore. Like Dez Bryant, as he gets older, is like the last living one who is really in that mold. So I don't really think that's a huge concern. And I don't think his weight is either, because he's 5 pounds away from being the same height and weight as Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, I think, is a pretty good, you know, NFL receiver. He could be a team's top option if he wasn't in the same offense as Thielen. And I think that's a player who Pettis kind of reminds me of a little bit, you know, in his ability to run routes. And like you said, Pettis is very refined in how he gets on top, how he stacks a cornerback. And he would give Jake Browning a ton of room because Browning had a candy cane arm because he's such a weak arm strength. And, you know, Pettis had to make a bunch of plays down the field, adjusting the passes. And I think that's huge, because I think your ability to stack a defensive back after you relieve him at the line gives your quarterback that extra room. And an NFL quarterback, a guy like Jimmy G, who has better ball placement than college QB, those are going to be touchdowns. We're not talking about contested catches. We're talking big play touchdowns in those situations.
Yeah, and his ability to run after the catch, obviously, and his return ability, and when he gets in the open field, he can make things happen. And I actually thought he was a better return man than a runner after the catch as a wide receiver. I thought he could do a little bit more, just judging by how good of a returner he was as an after-the-catch wide receiver. Not that he wasn't good, but I think there's even a little bit more there that we haven't seen yet, because he kind of runs differently, it seems like, and that's just from what I've seen. And I don't know if you can corroborate that, but I really like that comp for Stephon Diggs. I'd seen a Nelson Aguilar comp for Dante Pettis, but I think I like the Stephon Diggs one a little bit better, just his ability as a wide receiver, and the frame you mentioned is almost spot on there, within 5 pounds of each other. So you're looking at him as a Z and a slot more so than an X. I totally agree with that, and I love that they will be able to move him around, and Kyle Shanahan mentioned after drafting Pettis that they will utilize his versatility, and he'll be playing in a lot of slots. He might actually back up all three wide receiver positions for the 49ers, so he should be able to get on the field early, even if he's not a quote-unquote starter. So he was your top wide receiver. So is that just a ranking in a class that maybe wasn't as strong as some other classes at wide receiver, or do you see him as being a pure number one wide receiver eventually in the NFL?
Right. So touch on some of those points. I agree that he's a better return man than run after the catch. I think it's really his field vision. And I think that at Washington, I think they really did get excited when Pettis was back there because he had such good success early in his career returning punts that it became like the thing that it was like their calling card. It was a way that they could bust open games. And I'm a fan of that versatility. I think, you know, 9 punt return touchdowns in college, he's going to be an all-time great punt returner. You know, regardless if he develops as a receiver or not, he will be a weapon for a team because of that. But looking as him as my number one receiver, I don't necessarily think he's your traditional, you know, he's definitely not your traditional like top number one receiver, like the Calvin Johnsons of the world. I mean, Calvin Johnson's unique, but yep. The Dez Bryants of the world or the AJ Greens, he's not that type of player, but I think that's okay. And I think that the NFL is gravitating towards, players like receivers like Pettis who are a little bit more versatile. You know, we've seen the Patriots have a lot of success. We've seen Kyle Shanahan have success in his different spots with guys who are versatile, who are multiple, can play in different positions and take advantage of matchups. And I think Pettis fits that mold. I think he's going to be like the more modern type of NFL receiver. My comp for him isn't actually Stephon Diggs. It's Jeremy Maclin. I think that he develops into that level of player and that level of production that he will attain. As far as him being number one in the class compared to the class, I think the class maybe lacked that top end, top flight, can't miss prospect. You know, if you're looking forward at next year's class, like this class didn't have an AJ Brown from Ole Miss who will probably be the consensus top receiver next year, who's a big body, big strong guy. But this class was very deep, very, very deep. You know, I looked at over 60 receivers in the wide receiver draft guide that I did. And I had draftable grades on, I think, 38 of them. So I think it was a deep class. So I don't want to say it was necessarily weak, but it was just kind of spread out a little bit more the talent-wise.
Yeah, that's a great point about the class. And there were guys that I was more surprised this year that went undrafted than in years past, but I didn't have that player in the top 10 that you thought, okay, this guy's going to be a crazy, true, freakish stud in the NFL to draft at the top of the first round. I was a little bit surprised by how far Calvin Ridley dropped in the draft, and I thought that was a great landing spot for him to the Atlanta Falcons. So if Dante Pettis was your number one wide receiver in this draft, how close was the next group of receivers? Did you have sort of a top tier that he was a part of that some players were very close, and who were the next few slotted after Pettis for you?
The next few, and it was very close, the next two were DJ Moore and Anthony Miller. Then I had Calvin Ridley fourth. I think that Calvin Ridley might be a little bit a tier below where I think what I think of Moore, Miller, and Pettis. I think Anthony Miller had the best film in the class. He was crazy productive, yeah. But I have concerns. One, he's a year older than Pettis, and he's 2 years older than DJ Moore, and he had those injuries. So there's obviously some age and durability concerns there. Kind of knocked him down a little bit. I think that DJ Moore has the most potential of any receiver in the class, him being at 6 foot and I think 210 pounds with his athleticism and his strength. I think that he has the most potential. But as far as Dante Pettis goes, the reason why I loved him so much and why he was on top of those rankings, you know, just to touch on it, you know, I love his versatility. I value versatility. I coach wide receivers. And when I coach the receivers, I want them to be versatile. I want them to have every aspect of their game be well balanced. You know, I want guys who are able to separate, are able to run routes against all different types of coverage, who are athletic. They have good hand usage. They have good hands, good ball skills, good body control. They can block. They can run with the ball. They play special teams. I value that, and I think that Pettis really exemplifies that. He has great hands. He only had 4 drops in the last 2 years. His catch rate or his drop rate was less than 4%. So he has great hands. I think he has incredible body control, probably the best or second best body control in the class. Him and Jahleel Scott were really the two that stood out in my mind in that regard. And good ball skills. He's really always reaching for the ball. And he puts himself in great situations to catch the ball in contested catch situations because of his body control, even if he's not necessarily the strongest at the catch point because he is only 186 pounds. He puts himself in those positions and is able to pull the ball away a lot. And that's why how he's able to win in the red zone consistently. He had 15 touchdowns as a junior, and a lot of them came in the red zone against press coverage, you know, fades, that type of stuff. And so I think he's a versatile guy. He's a high effort blocker. I think obviously he's a very good ball carrier that translates into his punt returning. I think he has good hand usage. He really threatens leverage well in his routes, you know, especially his vertical cuts. He's really, really able to threaten leverage well and generate that separation. I think he's one of the best separators in the class, probably out there with the Deshaun Hamiltons of the world. So I think overall he hit every mark on my grading scale at a high rate. And that's why he got such a high grade for me.
I'm talking with Brad Kelly. He is an NFL draft writer, football coach, and the creator of the Wide Receiver Draft Guide. You are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember to listen to our daily national show, Locked On NFL, with Matt Williamson, part of the number one local daily sports podcast network. And Bay Area basketball fans, check out Locked On Warriors, hosted by Aliko Carter. And we're also rolling out new Major League Baseball podcasts. Okay, so talking about Dante Pettis here and how he ranks with the class, the number one guy for you, the 49ers drafted another wide receiver in this class, someone who I liked quite a bit and someone who I had a good feeling that Kyle Shanahan was also going to like for a lot of the same reasons, probably to like Dante Pettis, with that athleticism, ability to separate, competitiveness to go up and get the ball, even though he's not the biggest wide receiver. That is seventh round draft pick Richie James from Middle Tennessee. How did Richie James rank for you in this class? And do you think the 49ers might have a little steal on their hands in the seventh round?
I definitely think they got great value for Richie James getting him in the seventh round. I thought he was more of a round four type of player. I figured that he would fall in the draft because he is small and he had the broken collarbone that he missed most of the season with. So he has those durability concerns. And I think that was probably obvious going in the draft that he was going to fall probably to late day three. We did Russell Brown and I, we host Cover One, the podcast together. We did who do we thought was going to be Mr. Irrelevant, you know, kind of a wild guess. Obviously there's so many players, but my pick was Richie James. I figured he would be a seventh round pick and probably right around that range. And I wasn't too far off, but I think that he's going to be a steal for the 49ers and a perfect fit in the Shanahan offense. Once again, like I said about versatility, he's probably the most versatile player in the class. You know, he was lining up all around the formation at receiver. He lined up at, you know, wildcat quarterback. He's lining up at running back, and he can do running back like type things. You know, he's hitting the hole at awesome. Like he presses well, hits the hole vertically, gets behind his blockers, and then he's so shifty in space. He's kind of a player that you could put in, you know, have line up in like 10 different spots. He's like utility infielder type of player for an offense. And he's so, you know, electric with the ball in his hands that he can really like bust open a play in an instant. And you know, he's another guy who's a high effort player. He's not very powerful when he blocks, but his effort is so high that you can't help but fall in love with him when you watch him on film. So I think that overall, like, he's going to fit in the 49ers offense in a complementary role, in a versatile role, and really be able to thrive, you know, in that system.
Yeah. I love that competitiveness, and that jumped out to me because he was smaller than most of the guys he went up against, or equal size, and he would just go up and win jump balls all day long. And it was awesome to see a smaller guy be competitive, and you want those small school guys to dominate, and he did before his injuries, and just be super competitive, and he's got all the athleticism in the world. So I'm really excited to see how Richie James develops in the NFL. Real quick before I let you go, Brad, Jimmy Garoppolo, you mentioned how you're a fan of Garoppolo and you follow the Patriots. So I got to ask you, when Jimmy Garoppolo was traded, how did that feel for you, and were you surprised how quickly and how good he took over the 49ers, and for a team that was 0-9 when he showed up and 1-10 by the time he started football games, to go 5-0 with that 49ers football team? It kind of blew my mind, even though I really, really liked Jimmy Garoppolo, even from coming out of college. How did you feel watching that happen as a Patriots fan?
Well, I wasn't a huge fan of Garoppolo coming out of Eastern Illinois, but he obviously grew on me a ton. And the way he was able to play in the game and a half when he was a starting quarterback during Brady's suspension was awesome. And even despite seeing that, and, you know, I go to training camp every year for a couple days, and being able to see him at training camp, at the practices and in the preseason games, I went to a preseason game last year against the Jaguars, and he played, you know, the most of the game, and he was so impressive. It was still kind of a shock. I was definitely sad to see him go, but I understood it. I understood the trade. I don't think they really could have got much more. I think those reports were like kind of like water under the bridge. I didn't really believe him because we had only seen him for six quarters. So it was tough to get a huge good trade value for him. And his contract was ending. Anyway, the way he played, I was surprised at, despite seeing all the good flashes, seeing him so comfortable in the pocket and so comfortable in the Patriots system, able to pick it up and how he functioned as a starter. I was still surprised to see them go 5-0 down the stretch. But the way he started to play in like the first game or two, I was like, this is going to continue. He went into a perfect situation with Kyle Shanahan as the play caller in that offense, and being able to sit for a few weeks, play without pressure, learn the offense, and you know, not have the pressure of a playoff run or a Super Bowl run, you know, on his back. Just being able to go out there and play and try to win football games at the end of the year, I think that was awesome for him in his development. I think that this upcoming season, you know, we're going to see what he was the last 2 months of last year for a 16-game season.
Yeah, the 49ers fans are super geeked for that, to see Jimmy Garoppolo for the full year. And you're right about that. And I believe it was Ian Rappaport, after all those trade rumors and stuff happened, he said, like, no, 100% no doubt, he knows for sure the Browns weren't offering a first-round pick or any first-round picks at all, for that matter, for Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think a lot of that stuff was hindsight after you saw Jimmy Garoppolo play. And then people are like, oh, my God, I can't believe they gave up only a second rounder to get him. But it's like you mentioned, a guy who's played six quarters in the NFL and about to be a free agent, that's not somebody that you're throwing multiple first round picks at. So you're 100% right about that. And especially those reports definitely were false, according to Ian Rappaport, who's pretty well plugged in, I think, to the Patriots and to the NFL. All right, that's a good point to let you go here, Brad. I do want you to let my listeners know where they can find that wide receiver draft guide that we've been talking about here, featuring wide receiver one, Dante Pettis.
So you can follow my Twitter page at BradKelly17. That's KELLY17. I write for cover1.net, which is the Twitter page for that is at cover_1_. So you can find all my work there. As far as the draft guide goes, I'll repin the tweet. I'll put it on as my pinned tweet. It'll be a link through PayPal. If you do want to buy it retroactively, it costs $10. You do it right through PayPal. It'll be a pinned tweet. There's a really nice graphic as my cover. Dante Pettis is right in the middle, and then Anthony Miller and DJ Moore are also on it. But Pettis is the main feature. So you can't miss the picture. You won't miss it. Click the link and then click chip in to buy, and it will be emailed to you right away.
That is Brad Kelly. Go to cover1.net. Follow him on Twitter at BradKelly17. Brad, thank you so much for the info. Really appreciate you joining me here on Locked On 49ers.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks again to Brad for joining the show and dropping some wide receiver and Dante Pettis knowledge. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow with a little Winky Wednesday. Get those mailbag questions in either on Twitter at BDPeacock or via email, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And I'll talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.